But it's good to be back.
Amen.
So we're glad to be back. We had a cool trip there. That's from the the Dingle Peninsula there. Pretty nice. All right, and then Ken, I guess, was at the singles conference last weekend. All right, and Katie. There was a really cool picture of Katie having a great time, but I didn't get a copy of that picture. So Katie had a great time as well. And then, let me see. And last month, Michael was really almost bitter that he wasn't in the picture from our little thing. So he decided to take a selfie. So you know, Michael was serving the poor. All right? But, you know, yeah, okay. So that's the week's activities. And all right, so we've done a series of lessons from the book of Psalms. Now, we took some time off, like I did a Mother's Day sermon, then 3 weeks when I wasn't here. But this is the last in the series. All right, so this time we're going to look at the historical Psalms. Got it? And by the way, next week we're going to start a series from the book of Ecclesiastes. Somebody was telling me this week they've been studying it. Is that you, Pierce? Somebody here has been studying Ecclesiastes. Yeah, all right. So we're going to go into that. That'll be great. All right. By the way, it's great having James and Wendy here. Yeah. We've known them since before half the people in this room were born. Yes. All right. And apparently Michael knows them as well. And Zane, I get. All right. There you go. That's cool. Because the whole Milwaukee connection. That's great. So, types of psalms. The most common type is a psalm of lament. A psalm where a person of God is struggling, having a sense of fear or loss or sorrow, and they're simply laying their heart before God. And we did two sermons of that sort. Then the second kind is the imprecatory psalms. I'm sorry, that's a weird name. And that's one where the psalmist is saying, God, you need to get those people and take them out of here. I'm not doing one of those sermons. I'm skipping those, all right? You can read some of them. There's a few of them, Psalm 35. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. Then there's praise psalms. That was a great one, all right? Psalm 119, Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord. In fact, we've had a number of songs from the Psalms, and most of them have been praise ones, all right? And then there's psalms of confession, where we come before God and say, man, God, man, I blew it. I am so thankful for my forgiveness. The classic example, of course, is Psalm 51. Then there's wisdom psalms. There we did a lesson from Psalm chapter 1. And separately, we did a lesson from Psalm 119. And then the royal psalms. That's the one we did last time. These are psalms about the king. Some of them are about King David, but all of them are about King Messiah. These are messianic psalms. And then the last one, I've never taught a lesson from any of the historical psalms, so there you go, that's what we're going to do now. The purpose of historical psalms is twofold. So this is what you're hopefully going to get out of the sermon today. Number one, to remember the mighty deeds of God and to give him glory. All right, and we're gonna have some sharing time today, so get ready, because you're gonna share the mighty deeds of God in your life, in a group of two or three. Okay, but the other purpose of the historical Psalms is to remind us of our human frailty, our human sinful nature, and a warning to rely on God, not on self. Okay? So we're gonna see that. Okay, so we're gonna start, we're gonna do Psalm 105. There's really three main historical psalms. It's the least number-wise of the categories. Psalm 105, 106, and I believe it's Psalm 78, but I'm remembering it from memory. I can't remember. All right? Maybe it says it right there. Oh, yeah, 78. There you go. So Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. All right. See, I got it. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Last weekend, I was teaching in London, and somebody put my computer up on a music stand, and boom. So my computer is destroyed. That's all right, though. You know, it's just stuff. No big deal. So we're going to stop putting computers up on music stands. It's a bad idea. Here we go. Psalm 105, starting in verse 1. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. So what kind of psalm does this sound like so far?
Praise.
A praise psalm. All right, but it's a historical psalm. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. And really, this is a great introduction to a historical psalm, because really, this is what historical psalms are all about. So what are we going to be doing this morning? We're going to be telling the nations of God's wonderful acts. Or at least as many of the nations are here this morning, and then you go out and, you know, tell them later, okay? Got it? The other thing we're doing is we're going to be remembering the wonders he has done. Has God done any miracles in your life?
Yeah.
You're here. That alone is a miracle. Manny and Sandy's marriage is still doing good. And they'll tell you, that's a miracle. It's a miracle. Just look around. Just the fact that you're here is a miracle. All right? And he says, therefore, we need to seek his face always. So then what he's going to do now is he's going to start listing off some of the awesome stuff that he's done. So that's what we're going to be remembering this morning. To some extent, the things that he's going to list off would be more relevant to the lives of the Jews that he's speaking to. It's a little bit more distant for us. So we're going to look at the things that God has done and we're going to talk about, but then we're going to kind of try to put it into our own context. All right. So the miracles that we have observed. Got it? Yeah. James was telling us, like 31 years ago or 32 years ago when Katie was born, they had gone and planted a church in Las Vegas. Did some miracles happen there in Las Vegas? Are there some stories there in Las Vegas? Yeah, some crazy stuff. All right, Psalm 105, verses 6 and 7. You, his servants, the descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. So therefore, this passage really only applies to the Jews. That's what it says right here. No, not true. Because we could go to Galatians 3, verse 7. Who are these descendants of Abraham? All right. Some of are there any people who are of Jewish descent here in this crowd today? Okay. That's all right. Galatians 3, verse 7 says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Anybody here have faith?
Yes.
All right. So you're a child of Abraham, just so you know. Galatians 3:29. A little bit more specific here. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you belong to Christ?
Yes.
If not, get with the program pretty quick because you don't want to be in that situation. Romans 9, 8 and 9. I don't really need another scripture, but I'm just into this stuff because I think I've already proved that actually the audience of this psalm is us. Romans 9, 8 and 9, where it says, for this was how the promise was stated at the appointed time, I will return and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, oh no. That's the wrong one. Oh, well. It's somewhere in this Romans 9 that says, you're children of Abraham. What can I say? I messed up. All right. It's right there. It's right there in the Bible. Okay, good. So everything the psalmist is going to say about Israel in this poem applies equally to you as well. Psalm 105. Now we're going to start the litany, if you will, of awesome stuff that God has done for his people. Verse 8 through 15. Back in Psalm 105. Keep your finger there. Here we go. He remembers his covenant forever. The promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked the kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. No, God is not going to forget his promise. And he's made similar promises to us. God said to David, you will never fail to have a king on your throne. That's 2 Samuel 7. Still working out. Jesus is still there. He said to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. And God will never leave you and he will never forsake you. All right? He said to us that if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. So he said, to you, I will give the land of Canaan. Now, God says this to Abraham, and I don't know about you, but I'm not planning on living in Canaan. I mean, I've been there. It's a nice place, but there's a bunch of wars going on over there anyway. It's not my choice of a country I really want to live in over there in the Middle East. But God has given us Merced County. Now, most people never heard of Merced. We're in England. People say, where are you from? We said, Merced? They never heard of Merced. But you know what? There's around 250,000 people in this county. And there's a lot of people. And God is giving us this county.
Yes.
And God will give you what he promised. He said in Matthew 28:20, he said, I will be with you always. In Galatians 6:9, he said, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. God is a promise keeper. Amen. What promises has God kept to you? And what promises will he continue to keep for you? It says, you know, there were but few in number, not many. Abraham and his family, probably a little bit more than what we got going on here. But God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you this whole land. I'm going to give you this whole land. That was around, I don't know, 1900 BC. And they didn't get the whole land until like the time of David. It was 1,000 years.
Yeah.
But if God says he's going to give it to you, he's going to give it to you. We came here to Merced, 3 people. Wow, what a mighty army. Had never even met Zane. He just pulls up to our house. Hi, I'm here. All right, great. Now we got a church planting team here. Okay. Says they were but few in number. Well, you know what I'm saying? You know, we're up 9-fold from that 3 and another 9-fold. Think about that. And there you go. Do you believe God's promise that he has given us this land? Why do I believe it? Well, because of Psalm 105. He said to Abraham, I will do it. And he did it. I remember a couple months ago, Rob Skinner, some of you know him, probably most of you don't. And he was interviewing Jan and I because, you know, it's like we were here for 8 months. We hadn't had any baptisms. He said, did you ever doubt that it was going to actually work? And like Jan and I immediately said, no, why would we doubt that? You know, God's got some promises going here. And we're not just saying that to sound religious, you know, we're saying that's kind of what we actually believe. Okay, and there we go. Now my notes are messing up here. So, okay. Uh-oh. Oh, it's not one of my better days, because guess what? Page 3 is missing, yeah. But that's okay. I don't need page 3, because you know what I have? The Bible. All right. So Psalm 105, 16 through 22. Here we go. Ah, I gotta get back into the swing of things, you know what I'm saying? He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. No, don't amen that. Amen. You're not paying attention. You know, when they ask you to, fill out a form and it's yes, yes, yes. And then they throw it in like, are you an idiot? And you know, to see if you're actually, it's kind of like, that's what just happened.
Come on.
All right. You're not supposed to amen that. That's not amen. He called it, that's all right. There you go. That's the point. That's the way we're heading there.
So amen.
Amen to that part. Yeah, he called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Man, it was looking bad. It was looking hopeless. It was looking like this is never, ever going to work. Right? Till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved true, the king sent and released him. The ruler of his people set him free. He made him master over his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. You know, it might look bad, but God is still faithful. God will complete what he said. I love Genesis 50, verse 20. Keep your finger there. Kind of the bottom line of this whole story is at the very end of Exodus there. Exodus 50. Genesis 50. All right. All right. Okay.
Amen, bro.
I feel like President Biden right now. Okay. All right. Joseph said to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, for accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children. And he assured them, he spoke kindly to them. We're going to go through tough times. We're going to go through dry places. We're going to have times when, you know, people leave and, you know, and it's like, I just feel like, what are we doing? And that's going to happen. It's already happened. But we need to remember that God will live up to his promises. And so, Joseph's sitting there, and first of all, he's a slave, and then he's in prison, and he could have said, man, God has abandoned me. But he had enough faith to realize God is going to use this situation. Some tough situations. Some of us in here are some pretty tough situations, right? But God is going to use that. All right, Psalm 105. Again, the point of the sermon is God did it. I mean, under crazier situations than yours. So he's going to do it again. Just don't know how yet. All right. So hopefully I was close to what I was going to say, according to my notes. Psalm 105, verses 23 through 28. We're just going to keep going here. Then Israel entered Egypt. So again, he's recounting the story of God blessing his people. All right. Just starting with Abraham. Now we're going into Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. Oh no, here we go again. Here we go again. They're going to kick us off campus. And they're going to, our club advisor is going to turn out to be an atheist and, you know, stuff like that will happen. That's a true story, by the way. That was interesting, but amen, you know. Whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark, for had they not rebelled against his words. He turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of their rulers. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. Did you know there are two separate plagues, one of flies and one of gnats? Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of weird. What's the difference between a fly and a gnat anyway? I don't know. So it was one time it's flies, and then it's gnats. Okay.
I thought gnats were the same thing.
Yeah, we were trying to count them, and we only could come up with 9. And we're looking it up. It's because, yeah, all right. That's an unimportant aside there. Just, I never said that. He turned the rain into hail with lightning throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up every green thing in the land and ate up the produce of their soil. Then he struck down all the firstborn in their land, the firstborn of all their manhood. He brought out Israel laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left because dread of Israel had fallen on them. And Jesus is our Moses. Jesus is the second Moses, who also will perhaps even use a few plagues to get us out of Egypt, because we don't want to be in Egypt, because Egypt is where you are enslaved to sin. Like Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Their enemies, their former persecutors, gave them a bunch of money. Here, just please, go plant a church somewhere and we'll just pay for it. Just give them silver and go, get out of here. God used plagues to deliver them. God used some plagues in your life to deliver you. And God's going to do this. He's going to do it again. That's the purpose of the historical Psalms, is to remember the great deeds, the miraculous deeds, the locusts, the frogs, the plague of the firstborn son. An amazing thing, because, you know, they took the blood of the Passover lamb. It's supposed to put it on the wood. Don't put it on the cement. Put it on the wood. It's supposed to put it on the wood. All right. Because we know about another Passover lamb, another sinless, perfect Passover lamb, whose blood was also spread on a wooden cross beam, so that we could escape from slavery to sin. Let's keep going with the great deeds of God. Psalm 109, verse 39 through 45. All right, here we go. He spread out a cloud as a covering, and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven, with manna. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing. He chose his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. He gave Israel the land of the nations, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and all those otherites. He brought his people out of captivity with rejoicing. And this morning, we need to be rejoicing that God has called his chosen out with shouts of joy. He gave them the land of nations. Who would have thought of it? They were slaves. They had no money. They had no weapons. They had no food. And you know, like I said, we came here, 3 people, around almost 20 have been baptized. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to be around faithful people. I don't know. Jen and I, our favorite church to visit, that because we've been all over the world, we like going to Indonesia. The reason we love visiting the church in Indonesia is the people over there in the church that we've met, it seems they don't realize that what they're doing can't be done. All right? Because those of us around for a while, we're sophisticated enough that that's not likely to happen. I mean, you know, there's no money for that. And how could that really work? You know, this is a Muslim country. And, you know, how could 3 people go to Merced? How would that even work? And, yeah, so it's like 110 degrees there. And we moved here in the beginning of June. And, you know, all this sort of stuff. But, you know, If you spend time with Harlan and Vanya Salim, and I've spent a fair amount of time with them, they'll just tell you one story after another of like, that actually happened? Yeah. That, you mean, you're saying, you know, like, for example, if you ever drive around in Jakarta, first of all, don't even try. It's ridiculous. The traffic is insane. LA is like a country club out in the countryside. And I can remember one time we're driving to church and we're like two blocks away and it was like 45 minutes later, can't we just get out and walk? Mom says, no, you cannot get out and walk in this town. Alright, so what are you gonna do? So they needed a place to park. So what happened was these people owned a parking structure and they said, we'll build your church on top of the parking structure. For free.
What?
Yeah. So you go there, the first whatever, six floors are a parking structure and then there's their church. And so they have free parking right there in the middle of Indonesia, in the middle of Jakarta, you know, stuff like that. The way they got their legal thing and all that sort of stuff. And for us, we're saying, you know, we need a place to meet. So let's pray about it. And then 9 o'clock the next morning, get a phone call. Yeah, you can come to meet here at $50 a month. Thank you very much. Okay. And I tell that story. And around here, it's like, oh, well, that's just, God does stuff like that. I'm telling you, many disciples aren't that way. All right. They just are believing in what makes sense, what's logical. But God does crazy stuff. It does not make sense that God would take them out of slavery and they would occupy this land. And yet, they did. God is doing and God will do amazing things among us because that's just the kind of God he is. And that's why we're looking at historical Psalms to remember God has done this repeatedly so he will do it again. But, verse 45, all right? That they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. So let's go on to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Now the beginning of Psalm 106 is very similar to the beginning of Psalm 105. In fact, I think probably most scholars will agree that probably Psalm 105, 106 was originally one poem and then somebody cut it in half. I don't know. Because the story is just kind of continued. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. All right. Give thanks to the Lord for his good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I might enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I might share in the joy of their nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. And he says, who can proclaim his mighty acts? The answer is, we can.
Yes.
All right? We can. We can do that. It says it right there. That's how Zane knew to say we can, because it says it right there on the screen. Really, this is what historical Psalms are all about. Praising the wondrous deeds of God. But let's go on to verse 6 through 12. Okay? We have sinned, rats. We have sinned even as our ancestors did. Anybody here exception to that rule?
No.
Okay, didn't think so. All right. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles, which is exactly what I was for 23 years. You know, church, Christians. All right. All right. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, by the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake to make his power mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. Yeah, I think so. You know, after the whole thing with the, you know, they're getting chased down by Pharaoh and they're just defenseless, no weapons, all that sort of stuff. The army's coming, blah, 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 blah. Sea on one side, army on the other side. And God just goes, and they walk through. And really, that's kind of how I got out of my sinful life. It's like, it was crazy stuff, man. I was completely enslaved to those things. I was just, and Satan was not going to let me go. And God just took those waters of baptism, whoosh. They were baptized into Moses as we're baptized into Christ. That's how it works. You know, God delivered them despite, not because of them. He didn't deliver them because they were so awesome. Far from it. No, no, no. But God delivered us nevertheless. Not because we're so awesome. Mm-mm. But God will do great things in the Central Valley for his name's sake. You know, there's plans, and it's pretty solid plans, planting in Stockton. Okay, I'm pretty sure 2025 it's going to happen. All right? And then we're going to go from there because we got Modesto and we got Visalia and we got all these other towns. I shared the other day, I was talking with a leader from our church in San Diego, and he said, you know, we've pretty much planted all the major cities in California. It's like, dude, I mean, what map are you looking at here? You're talking about those coastal towns. We're here.
That's right.
Woo! We're here. You know what I'm saying? And we're needing the gospel. So that's going to be happening. And he's going to do these things not because Bianca is such an amazing person. Now, Bianca's, she's pretty amazing. But it's not because of her amazingness that he's going to, you know, get people saved. It's not because of that, okay? It doesn't work that way. Not because we're so smart. Psalm 106 reminds us that it's always him and it's never us. Because if it was up to us, OMG. He did crazy stuff. He dried up the Red Sea. He converted the most recalcitrant sinner. He turned poverty and social injustice into a program for the community for his glory. Why did this all happen? For his glory and only for his glory. I ask you, do you believe that God could part the Red Sea?
Yes.
You do? Okay. So you think God could take care of your situation?
Yes.
Now, sometimes he doesn't. You know, sometimes he doesn't. All right? But that doesn't disprove God. Right? All right. Psalm 106, 13 through 23. We're going to make it all the way through two Psalms. Here we go. But. Now, the word but, that's a really big word in the Bible. Most of the time it's, you know, you were lost in sin, you were object of wrath, but.
Yeah.
Usually but is a really good word. But every once in a while in the Bible, but is kind of a bad word. But, unfortunately, they soon forgot what he had done. And did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for. He sent a wasting disease among them. In the camp, they grew envious of Moses and Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. And it buried the company of Abiram. Read Exodus. You'll learn about this stuff, okay? Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. At Horeb, they made a calf. That was a great moment. Oh, yeah, they made an idol out of gold. Great yippy-skippy moment. You know, they were just doing awesome. And worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for images of a bull which eats grass. God for a bull which couldn't even actually eat grass because it wasn't even alive. You know what I'm saying?
True.
They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt. And you know, this could happen to us.
Yep.
The people became faithless. 1 Corinthians 10, 6-13, it says, these things occurred to them as examples, so we wouldn't be like them. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians 10, 6-13, you'll see that it's a direct reference back to the exact events that are being recounted here in Psalm 106. So let's learn from their mistakes. So the historical psalms, remember I said, two things from the historical psalms, right? Number one, declare the praises of what God has done. Number two, forget, we're sinners. And if we ever, ever fail to rely on God, instead rely on cattle, grass-eating idols. You know? Money is like a grass-eating idol. It is green in America. I mean, the things the world relies on are powerless. And it is so tempting to go back to Egypt. And again, they said, oh, we had leeks and melons and onions back there in Egypt. We had such good food. You were slaves, you idiots. Don't you realize?
Yeah.
Let us not forget the miracles God has already done. Let's not give in to our sinful desires, putting God to the test. Brothers, remember, and sisters, remember these things. Verse 16 and 17, they grumbled. Not good. Now, I hesitate to say this because generally when you're grumbling against the leader. That's me. But I'm telling you, don't grumble against me, okay? Don't grumble against me because God's saying that's kind of grumbling against God. But I'll never, I don't want to say that, but the Bible kind of says that. So, and it's here. So I guess I should go ahead and say that. But feel free to grumble against me. Personally, it'd be okay. But God's telling you you shouldn't, so might want to listen to that. But never rebel as they did. They rebelled against Moses. Bad, man. Fire came down. Not good. All right? So let us remember what God has already done to save us so that we don't look back at the world. All right, we're going to finish out this psalm. I'm going to read it sort of quickly because I want to finish up pretty soon. But I do want to, you know, finish the psalm, verse 24. Then they despised the present land, the pleasant land. They did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents. They did not obey the Lord. So he swore to them with uplifted hand that they would he would make them fall in the wilderness. Don't be like them. No. Make their descendants fall among the nations and scatter them throughout the lands. They yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. They aroused the Lord's anger by their wicked deeds, and a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was checked. This was credited to him, Phinehas, as righteousness for endless generations to come. By the waters of Meribah, they angled at the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them, and he yelled at the rock and instead of doing the right thing, and then he couldn't enter the promised land. That's not a good moment for Moses, for they rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came from Moses' lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. They worshipped their idols, which became a snare to them. He's going on and on and on here because you know what? Us alone, we're just going to keep messing up and messing up and messing up. So get the message. Rely on God, who will do great things. I mean, if you read Exodus, it's almost boring. It's because they keep forgetting to rely on God. So instead, read 1 Corinthians 10 and say, don't do what they did. Okay, where was I? All right, I'll start in verse 34, close enough. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. Familiar. They worshipped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to false gods. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, and they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they did. By their deeds, they prostituted themselves. Therefore, the Lord was angry with his people. He abhorred his inheritance. He gave them into the hands of the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected to their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion. They wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant. Out of his great love he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. Save us, Lord our God. Gather us from the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for everlasting and everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. You don't need to turn there. Just a quick little quote here. I think it's relevant. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13, where he says, here's a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot disown himself. God has done great things, and God will do great things among us. All right? Do you believe that God could part the Red Sea one more time and turn the hills into plains and create verdant land where there was only desert? I do. Yes. I believe that. I believe that he can, and I believe that he will. So, got a little homework assignment for you. Study Psalm 78. Okay? And what we're going to do now is we're going to have we don't normally end a sermon this way, but we're going to have a little discussion session. So get with somebody, not your spouse, probably. You could if you want. And let's do this. Let's share with each other the wonders that God has already done in our life. Okay? Just share that little bit with each other. And then let's try to envision the wonders that God will still be doing in our life. So let's take about 3 or 4 minutes to do that. All right, so we're sharing the mighty deeds of God. Yeah, that's your homework. Psalm 78. Read Psalm 78. All right. So we can do a group of three here. So what's the miracle God's done in your life, Manny?
Well, I thought I was going to be in love with another sister.
Okay.
I was sure of it, and I was wrong. there was something that about her life that didn't match with my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It only came with time. But for the longest time, I was sure that that was the one, and nobody could tell me otherwise. You know, and if it hadn't been for that, if it hadn't been for me listening, I wouldn't have ended up where I ended up.
Mm-hmm.
So see, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
For me, just salvation, connecting, reconciliation, restoring relationships,